I want to have a special class about Jerusalem. A few days ago was Yom Yerushalayim. Yesterday, right? Was Yom Yerushalayim. And we should have a special class a little bit about Yom Yerushalayim, the history, the present, and the future of Jerusalem. The Pasuk says about Amalek, Kiyad al Kais Ka, for the hand is on the throne of Hashem, says the Rosh. Rosh was one of the Tosfis, he lived 700 years ago. Says the Rosh, what is the throne of the Ribon Shalom? The throne of the Ribon Shalom is Yerushalayim. Yad al Keska, what hand is on the throne of Hashem? It is the nations, one after another, that try to take the throne from the Jewish people. Says the Rosh, again, this is a commentary written 700 years ago. The Jews had been in exile already for over 1,000 years. And the Rosh writes, the nations... the nations all try to take Jerusalem from us. Mr. Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, you've lived in Germany, you've lived in Spain. What does Israel have to do with Jerusalem? It's been 1,000 years since the Jews have been in Jerusalem. Tells us the Rosh, that's the pshat in the Pasuk. When the Pasuk writes, the hand is on the throne of Hashem, the Pasuk is telling us that all the nations want Jerusalem. There's one place that they're all fighting us over. Jerusalem, that's the throne of the Ribon Shalom, says the Rosh. So, there's a rabbi who we are very fortunate that he is with us today. His name is Rav Avigdor Neventzal. Rav Avigdor Neventzal is a big Talmud Chacham. He learned with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. He learned in Mir, and he was married to one of the daughters of the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. And he was supposed to be a Rosh Yeshiva in Mir. And he was learning there with the top echelons of the yeshiva. And then the Six-Day War happened. And he told his chavrusa, I'm leaving. And his chavrusa said, what do you mean you're leaving? And he said, Jerusalem was freed. I'm going to learn next to the Beis HaMikdash. And he packed his bags and he went to a bunker that was near the Kotel. And he sat there and learned day after day. He left the promised position of being Rosh Yeshiva of Mir and went to learn next to the Beit HaMikdash. He said, we have an ability to learn in the near the Beit HaMikdash. We belong there, we don't belong here. And he left the yeshiva and he left all the prestige he was supposed to get and sat in a bunker and learned. Now, if you want to know who Rav Avigdor Neventzal is, I hope we will get to meet him. I hope we will get to go to his house. You will see that right next to the chair that he sits, there are five piles of notebooks. Those five piles of notebooks are his own summary of all of Shas. As he learned through Shas, he summarized all of Shas. He has next to his seat, he'd never published it, he wrote the summary for himself. Next to where he sits and learns, he has five piles of notebooks, his summary of the whole Shas. Just so you have a picture who Rav Avigdor Neventzal is. So Rav Avigdor Neventzal went when no one else was coming to the Old City. People were scared to go. People were scared to learn there. People were scared to live there. There were stabbings. It was dangerous. And he went and he said, I'm here. And slowly he got his chavrusa to come. And he got more yeshivas to come. He was the pioneer. So the fact that you say correctly that he's the rabbi of the Old City, he's the rabbi who risked his life and said the Old City has to be a place of Torah, and that's why he went there on his own and sat in a bunker in a bomb shelter opposite the Kotel and just learned. And slowly he brought people to learn there. And approximately a number of years ago, he noticed, he appointed his son as chief rabbi of the Old City. He already got old, he was sick, and I used to call him. I've been asking questions for over 20 years, and when I'd call him, there were a few challenging things. The first challenging thing was that the time you could get a hold of him was between a quarter to midnight and midnight. That was the time. He walked home at a quarter to midnight, and by 12:15 he was sleeping. So the time you could get a hold of him was between 11:45 and midnight. So that was the first challenging thing. The second challenging thing about asking Rav Neventzal a shaila was that before I finished the question, he was firing back the answer. so sharp and so with it and so learned that every question I asked him, I would sometimes spend the whole day learning the sugya I was going to ask him about. And I'd call and I just learned it. I had all the books in front of me open, and he answered me more quickly than I could digest what his answer was, because I didn't even finish saying the question. Neil's already firing back the answer. I once saw him sitting on the bus, and I had a bunch of questions from my learning in yeshiva. So I said, Rebbe, can I sit next to you? He said, yeah. Bad move. I said, can I ask you a few questions? He said, yeah. So I asked him, there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, and Gemara Sota about three mitzvos, whether they're Rishus or Chova. He said, right, let's review it. And he starts rattling the page with me. He starts going over the page. He said, the first machlokas is Lolam Be'em Tavod. The second machlokas is Hashkat Sota. He's going down the page with me, right? These are the machlokas. And he doesn't have the book open in front of him. He's reviewing the page with me, and he's going through my question about how Tosfos learns the machlokas. He's going through the page with me. So that's Rav Avigdor Nevenzahl. And what happened is he saw that the Christians and Muslims are trying to slowly take away components of the old city. They are purposely bringing people there and having walks there and offering their incense there. And the Jews living in the old city have to live with incense coming off of the rooftop of Kever David. The most famous thing that happened is recently they were given approval to do all kinds of processions and prayer services in Kever David, King David's tomb. He has to have that happening by him. He noticed this is happening, that they keep encroaching and trying to take territories away from the Jews. So Rav Nevenzahl asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, what am I supposed to do? How do you fight back? How can I fight? What am I supposed to do? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky said to him, the only way you could fight back is by bringing more Torah to the old city. If you bring Kedusha, if you bring Torah, if people will come to the old city and learn Torah, that's the way to bring the old city to where it should be. We know that the epitome of the world, the apex of the world is Israel. And we know that the apex of Israel is Jerusalem. The holiest place in the world is Israel. The holiest place in Israel is Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem was, for the last 50 years, a tourist site. What did you see when you came into the old city? You saw tourists. The shuls would open for davening and close at 8:30 in the morning and reopen at night for Maariv. That's what you had in the old city, a tourist site. You came to the Kotel, you saw people praying. So Rav Nevenzahl decided that he's going to build a kollel. And he built a kollel for 1,000 students. And suddenly, the old city, which had approximately 6,000 Jewish inhabitants, went up by almost 20%, because you had 1,000 students coming from outside the city to learn daily. I remember when the kollel started, I joined. I've been there the last 3 years. When the kollel started, I would come into Shaar Yafo at 8:30 in the morning. You'd look down the Arab market, and you didn't see a single Arab. You saw a sea of black hats walking through the Arab market going to the Kotel. So he changed the face of the old city. Whereas the old city was a tourist attraction, and it still is, ever since he started his Kollel, the old city has become more and more a place where you see observant people, people who are learning Torah, walking the streets and learning Torah. The Ramban's shul, we all heard of the Churva. Well, the Churva was going to be a tourist site. You walk into a museum and you see a beautiful Churva. So he sent tens of students to learn there all day. The Ramban's shul would lock their door at 8:30 in the morning until Mincha time. He sent tens of students to learn there. The old city has become thriving with Torah thanks to what he's been doing. I'm mentioning this to you because I think it's a lesson to all of us. We celebrate 50 years that Jerusalem is free. Well, it's not enough that the land of the old city is free for Jews to walk in. The old city is supposed to be the holiest place. We have to make it such. If we just learned the Rashi in Yeshaya that says, "Ena goel ba kol zman sheziyon chareva," don't expect the Redeemer to come when Jerusalem is in ruins. You have to rebuild it, and then the Redeemer will come, says Rashi. Well, I don't think Rashi meant simply sticks and stones. I think Rashi also meant to rebuild it spiritually. And that's part of our responsibility. It's food for thought. People are thinking of going to eat nachluyot and yeshuvim, and that's all important. It's also important to rebuild the holiness of the holiest place on earth, the old city.